Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, Pisces.
But something special about you, and that something told us the time had come, and you would be the one who fulfilled all the hopes, all the dreams and prayers.
Down. I don't know how you're going on. Okay. You're on the air now.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning to everybody. Speak the English language. In the people that know the Arabic language of the Holy Quran, the final revelations of Almighty Allah, the creator of all people, we say, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. That is, we said, what's the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, cherished and sustained of all the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master, ruler of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose fortune is not wrath, and who go not astray. I mean. With that said, we want to greet our beloved listening audience in the greetings of peace from all of the prophets of Almighty God Allah, from the first prophet Adam down to the last of the prophets Muhammad, peace be upon all the prophets and messengers of Almighty Allah. As-salamu alaykum, that means peace be unto you. Now, we want to open up this talk also with another prayer on the subject that we're talking on, and that subject is real life. Awakening to the Day of Judgment. Now, we've got a particular reason that we're talking on this subject today. But first, we would like to say another prayer out of the Holy Quran to help us begin with this topic. And this is called Ikhlas, or the Purity of Faith. This is the name of the chapter, the surah chapter in the Quran. And it goes like this in the Arabic. Kulhu Allah. Hu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid, wa lam yalad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. In English, it's translated, say he, Allah is the one creator. Allah is the eternal. Allah is the uncaused cause of all that exists. Allah begets not, and neither is Allah begotten. And there is nothing that could be compared with Allah. Okay, we will start from there. Nothing can be compared with the Creator. We must understand this, first of all, people, because today, in all religion, we see people saying, I worship God, I believe in God. My God is Jehovah, my God is Allah. My God is Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Okay, my God is Buddha. I connect with God through Buddha. You even got some people saying, I connect with God through the rocks and the stones. I build a fire, and the fire is It connects me with God. I go through the fire to get to God. People are saying that they have to go through all of God's creation to connect with Almighty God, Allah. It's absolutely incorrect. Almighty God is not creation. You cannot connect with Almighty God, Allah, through creation. Now, what do we mean by this? We mean this, people. We mean that creation is only a vehicle. We mean that creations are the creation is only ayat, signs of Allah. They point you to how to connect with Almighty Allah. The way you connect with Almighty God, Allah, your creator, is inside your own soul. Even our body, a lot of people get hung up on their flesh. And they think that, you know, I know this. I got degrees in this here. I know the Arabic up the Quran. I'm a scholar. I'm a Hafiz. I know the Quran in Arabic. I can quote it to you. You want me to quote it to you? I went to school. I got a bachelor's degree. I got a associate's degree. I got all kinds of degrees. What do that mean? What has that got to do with connecting with the Creator? Nothing. Nothing. The only way you can connect with Almighty God, Allah, first of all, you must have a pure heart. What is a pure heart? You don't even hear people talking that much today, most people, about a pure heart. I can't forget to talk about a pure heart all the time because I know that's the only way that Allah or our Creator sustains me is by having a pure heart. A pure heart simply means that you have godly intentions at all times. It means you have good intentions at all times, people. It means that you intend to do what's right. You intend to do good at all times. That's what it means. And how, again, do we connect with our Creator? You don't associate nothing He created as a partner or intercessor with Him. I got to go through Jesus to get to God. You got a lot of people tell you that. I got to go through Jesus. If you don't believe in the Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. The only way to get to God is through Jesus Christ. They're telling a lie. They don't know what they're talking about. They're ignorant. You got a lot of people will tell you in Islam that, you know, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Prophet Jesus or Esau, the great prophets, men, human beings, they never said they was divine. But you got a lot of Muslims who raise Prophet Muhammad up like he's a god. You know, and they will tell you if you don't follow certain hadiths, that is in Arabic, translated in English, sayings of the prophet, then, hey, you're not a true believer in Almighty God, Allah. In other words, they put Prophet Muhammad as his word over the word of Allah. No, people, that's incorrect. In the Holy Quran, Almighty God, Allah, say whose word can be truer than his? We have to understand that nobody's word is truer than Almighty God, Allah. Almighty God, Allah, is all-knowing. And understand this here. You got Muslims, in particular, Christians, Jews, but especially Muslims who fear the so-called powers that be. They fear the American government. They fear our Arabs. The African-American Muslims, I'm going to put in right now, in particular, as a people. But in general, Muslims fear all over the world, they fear the Western powers. And because they fear the Western powers, anything you fear, you give power over yourself. And when you fear that you give power over yourself, that you give power over you will divide you as human beings and destroy you, have you to conquer and destroy yourselves. No, we can't do this. No. Allah have all power, people. If we're going to look for power, if we're going to look for help, we have to look for help and power only from Allah, the only one who can give us help and power. I was just reading in the Holy Quran this morning before this talk show, where the Creator said if he put an affliction on anybody's body, nobody, nothing in creation can remove that affliction but him, the Creator. And he said if he intend any good for anybody, nothing in this world can stop that good from reaching you. So no matter how much anybody pray and hope, oh, I hope this don't happen for her or him, all of that praying and hoping won't do no good. If the Creator intends something good for you, it's going to happen. Nothing can stop it. If he puts something on you, affliction on you, allow you to get the AIDS, cancer, whatever, he's the one that allowed that to happen to you to test your faith, and nobody can take that off you except him. If he wants to take that off you, sometimes the Creator keeps afflictions on us and take us out of this world to purify us. And that long suffering with the sickness, it ain't bad. It's to cleanse us of the sins of this world that we have taken on through our life journey through this evil and sinful, ungodly world. Almighty God, Allah say the root of all evil is the love of the material world, a lot of love of materialism, to put it in a more explicit and plain way. It's the love of materialism. We ain't supposed to be loving materialism. We're supposed to be loving the one that created material things. And if you love him, Allah, the Creator, then you'll know how to use the material things in their proper way. You won't worship them. You'll use them to help for the betterment of all people. That's what they're for. You see, their material wealth is for service and on trust for mankind. So Almighty God has, Allah has entrusted material things to us to see how we're going to use them. He said, don't hoard material things. You've got most people today, Muslim, Christians, especially in religion, they're such hoarders. They're so stingy. They're so niggardly. They don't want to share with nobody. And the worstest people of all in the human race that have this so niggardly mentality, and you can see in the beginning of the word niggardly, is nigger. It's a nigger mentality where you're stingy. You don't want to help nobody, you know? And every other race besides the African-American or so-called black man and woman, they help each other. They come to America, and they realize that, hey, this is a land of opportunity, and it is a land of opportunity. Nobody can take that from the United States of America. It is indeed a land of opportunity. But if you don't know who you are, if you don't know your history, if you don't know where you come from, and somebody tell you about your history, that's a lie. And they tell you not only a history that's a lie, but it's a history that demoralizes you, that makes you feel like you're incapable of achieving the success and the progress of other people in the human race, and you believe that. They teach you this for over 500 years, and you believe it. Then you are crippled for the rest of your life, people, and you can never come together. And see, understand this, too, in this talk. The worstest enemy of the human being, whether you be black or whether you call yourself white, Jew, pink, or blue, the worstest enemy of the human being is ignorance. Ignorance. I can't emphasize that enough, because it's a saying that if you think education is expensive, try ignorance. And education is not expensive in the way that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about academics. Yeah, you have to pay to go to school and learn academics. And what is academics? You really want to know what academics is? Oh, for all of you people to think that you're very educated because you've got this European Judaic academics in their schools. Academics is the is the knowledge of creation. Academics teach you about the sciences of creation. Academics don't have anything to do with spirituality. That's why they took God out of school. Prayer. To let you know that, listen, we don't want to even deal with this God in school no more. We ain't dealing with God. We're dealing with our own agenda. And our own agenda is to make you all subservient to us, look up to us, the powers to be in the United States government as the God. We are the God. So you don't need God in school no more. You need our orders in school. When you start school, they give you pitches. They give you things that say, I pledge the allegiance not to God, but I pledge the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Can you imagine that? Almighty God is the one that woke us up every morning, wake us up every morning, and then when we go to school, they tell you pledge allegiance to a corrupt government, to the flag. To the flag means you giving your allegiance to the government. They got what's called FBI agents, CIA agents, Federal Bureau of Investigation, Central Intelligence Agents. And these men, I got the movers to prove it, but you all can see it. It's out here for all of you to get it. These men are trained assassins to kill people for the government. The people can be, and for the most part, the people are, lots of the people, millions of them are innocent people. These same people were trained thousands of years ago to kill prophets and messengers of Almighty God, Allah. And they are trained today to kill anybody that's good, that's trying to bring about freedom, justice, and equality for all people. They kill Malcolm X. They kill Martin Luther King. They kill Robert F. Kennedy. They kill J.F. Kennedy. They kill Emmett Till. They kill Trayvon Martin. They kill, and the reason they kill most African-American people is because they know who African-American people is as a people, but most African-American people as a people don't know who they are. And today we're going to talk about this because it's very important, because we got a mission as a people, African-American people. We got a special mission. And then it goes right in with the title of today's program, Real Life Awakening to the Day of Judgment. Do you know people that from the time we're born until the time we die, we're being judged, we're on judgment? What is judgment? Judgment means that every time we make a choice in life, there's consequences. That's judgment. If I choose to do right, I'm going to get a judgment for that, then, right then. And if I choose to do wrong, I'm going to get a judgment for that right then, a consequence. Judgment is the consequences of our actions. And I heard something on TV the other day, and I really liked it. It said, the movie is called Judgment Day. And it said that our fate, F-A-T-E, as human beings, it's not already set, and it's not already set. In fact, Almighty God, Allah says in the Holy Quran, every human being's fate, F-A-T-E, is fastened around their own neck, meaning that you make your fate what it is. Every day he gives you, he bless you with, Allah bless you with, you determine how your outcome going to be that day. You determine what your judgment going to be that day. And every day, we are being judged. We have what's called a record. Whether you believe it or not, we have a record. And that record, even in the word record, it means record. It's recording. Everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think, everything that we feel or desire in our heart is being recorded. Yes, and you know, on the day of resurrection and judgment, do you know that that record going to already be there waiting on us when we are resurrected from the dead? And our judgment is going to be immediately. You know why? Because everything is already, the evidence is already there. And Almighty God, Allah, said he's going to say to each of us, read your own record. And the reason he's going to do this is because he wants you to know, hey, ain't nobody lied on you. Ain't nobody put nothing on you that won't truth. This is what you did. He's going to give you, flash your whole life, little short life here on this earth before you, show you in your record everything you did, and you're going to be horrified to know, this is really me. It really was a judgment. I didn't really think it was going to happen, but it's real. And I got an answer now. So you're going to be horrified. You're going to be terrified to know that everything you thought you was hiding, you can't hide nothing from the Creator. It was recorded, and now you got to answer for it. And then pay for our judgment on the final day of judgment. That pay, whatever your reward is, whatever your judgment is, it will be eternal. If your judgment is righteous judgment, you will spend eternity in heaven with Allah. If your judgment is unrighteous, sinful, a life of wickedness, a life of sinning, a life of selfishness, a life of greed, a life of oppressing your fellow man, your judgment will be the hellfire. So, people, we have an opportunity now while we're on this earth to get it right. We don't have time to waste because you know what? Once time is gone, it don't come back. It don't come back and say, okay, well, I'm going to wait on you to get yourself together, and I'll move on in the future. No, it don't work like that. Once time gone, it don't come back because time is under the will of Allah. Time is on a schedule. Time got a schedule to keep, just like we got a schedule to keep. Everything created is created on a what? Limited period of time, for a limited period of time. Time itself is limited. Our life in this material world is limited. It's not permanent. Most people act like they were already in heaven, especially Muslims. They're so stingy, won't even help their own Muslim brothers and sisters. I heard something so ridiculous out of Washington, D.C. Area recently. And yeah, I'm going to expose you because it don't make no damn sense. And I said damn, and damn means condemn. And I said it again. You want me to say it again? I said it again. I ain't got to. You heard me. Yeah, I believe you heard me. I won't call it a mosque, but it was a mosque here in Washington, D.C. where they telling you don't dress like Prophet Muhammad dressed. Don't dress like all the Allah say dress in the Quran, decent. That is covering your body parts. That's what they're really telling you. They're telling you, and they recently told a sister, my wife, and heard it. They don't need to put on their hijabs and cover their body, their head. No, they need to expose their beauty so the whole world can see it. So in essence, what they're telling the believers or the Muslims that go to that masjid, expose yourself. What God say, Allah say, do, you do the opposite of that. Don't cover your body. Almighty God, Allah says in the Holy Quran, he give us clothes to cover our shame. Our shame. It's a shame and disgrace to see people out here walking around naked. Naked, showing their flesh, their private part. That's a shame and disgrace. And Almighty God, Allah say, he give us clothes to cover our shame. But he say the best clothes is righteousness. So if you don't have the best clothes on in your heart, a righteous heart, a God-fearing heart, where you fear to disobey God, you fear to be shameful in the presence of God because you recognize that God is omnipresent. He's never absent at any time or place. And you know that if you have true faith in Allah, you know that Almighty God, Allah, sees you even though you don't see him, but you worship him with the same fear as if though you sin at all times, and that's what keep your conduct in check, in order with this divine moral law. You won't do wrong because you know God see me, Allah see me, if nobody else don't see me. Now, that's what you call a true believer. And also, you call a true believer a person who, when they do something wrong against the will of Almighty God Allah, they feel bad, and their conscience bothers them. Their heart troubles them. And when they do something good, oh, they just feel so great. They feel so wonderful. They feel so at peace. and they feel, you know, they feel good about themselves. So, in other words, in plain terms, Prophet Muhammad said, when your good pleases you, the good you do and the bad you do makes you feel bad. You don't feel good about doing bad, then you're a true believer. I see so many Muslims, so many Christians, so many Jews, and so many religious people doing bad, terrible things. First of all, they have such nasty attitudes towards each other and especially towards people who are not in their religion. And they call themselves believers in Almighty God. That's impossible. I'm here to let you know that you're liars, you're hypocrites. You're liars. Ain't no way in the world you can love Almighty God Allah and not love his people. The main way that people knew Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if I'm not saying it good enough for you and who speak Arabic, I don't care. It means prayers and peace be upon the Prophet. I'm not concerned about pleasing you all. I'm only concerned about pleasing Allah. This man, Prophet Muhammad, was the example for the whole world of the conduct, the moral conduct that Almighty God Allah hold everybody from his time to today until the end of time. He's the standard by which we all must judge our conduct. If we say we believe in Almighty God Allah, Allah say he's the best model of a moral conduct that we should pattern our lives by. And this man right here was so good to people. Before Almighty God Allah missioned him as his last prophet for mankind, this man was living in a world like we live in today. It was so moral decadent. Sodom and Gomorrah, you had men wanting to have sex with men. Women wanting to have sex with women. They were not wanting to, they were doing it. You had women walking around naked in the holy place called Mecca, where the holy house of Almighty God is. It's called the Kaaba. And it's the house of worship for, symbolizes the house of worship for all people, representing that all people have one God, that our creator is one. You had women walking around there naked, just blasphemy, just to show how bold it was in their wrong. And Almighty God Allah says that today as then, he say, oh, what boldness. These people who are walking around here boldly committing sin, intentionally committing sin, he said, oh, what boldness they show for the fire of hell. And that man lived in a time like that called Jahiliyyah, period or age of spiritual darkness. History repeats itself. We're living in the same time. You got women walking around naked, especially right there in Washington, D.C. Every time I come there, boy, good Lord, that reminds me of the past, Babylon and Sodom and Gomorrah, more than any city I've been in this country. Man, they walk around there so naked and so bold, and the homosexuals walk around there in Washington, D.C. so bold like they were made, God made them a female, and the females walk around so bold like they were made a male. And they just be hugging and walking and kissing all on the street and having sex all out in the public and just, oh, man, we are in the time that history has repeated itself, people. We are in the time when all of the evils of the past has visited us in the future. Why is this, people? Because Almighty God, Allah, is getting ready to destroy all the evils from the past and the present. And there will be no more evil in the future once he do this job that he's doing today. He's cleaning house. So this is a warning to you all, too. Get your life right. Awaken to understand that you're being judged every day. You ain't getting away with anything you do. Your conduct is being recorded, duly recorded. And one of the things that Almighty God Allah, the Most High, say is the day of judgment is a day of paying our dues, a stand of justice, and an inquiry of our responsibilities and duties to him. So, you know, it's just like in school, you know. You work all year long, and then at the end of the school year, you want to get good grades, you want to pass. But if you don't put in your homework, you can't pass. We're in school in this world. If you don't put in your spiritual homework, you will not pass the test of life. You cannot pass the tests of life, the trials of life, with money, with material things, with carnal pleasures. You can only pass the trials of life with faith in Almighty God Allah and obedience to Almighty God Allah's divine will, plan, and purpose for your life, which is all good and all righteous. And I didn't say some good and some righteous, because a lot of most Muslims, Christians, Jews, and people in religion, they think today they can confuse faith with their own selfish wrongdoing and then try to blame the devil for their own wrongdoing. No, the devil or the Satan, if you believe in him, if you don't believe in him, it's still a Satan, whether you believe in him or not. And he do influence the world with evil, people, human beings. But you can't blame him for your influencing you if you allow him to influence you. It's your choice to accept his influence or reject it, his evil influence. And most people don't want to take responsibility for their own actions. Most people think they're free to just do what they want to do. Even the devil know better than that. He know that we ain't free to do what we want to do. Even he know the freedom he got and his followers, the chins. He know their freedom is limited. He know that they can't go beyond a certain point, that Almighty God Allah got laws, and they can't go beyond his laws, so they will bring destruction on themselves. So they try to encourage, and they've been doing an excellent job, get people, they influence them with evil suggestions, huh? To worship material things, to worship your carnal self and carnal pleasures, carnal appetites, which lead us into what? Evil, immorality, corruption, moral decadence. I know. I've been there. I'm a human being just like you. I make mistakes just like you all. And the only way I can overcome, and I've been blessed to overcome my mistakes, my faults, my sins, my moral corruption, is through desiring, first of all, in my heart, to live a pure, a good life. I didn't like the way I felt when I was committing sin. My heart and my conscience made me feel so bad. And that's the worstest thing, people. That's the worstest whooping you can get, is when your own heart and your own conscience just whips you. I don't care how much money you got. And I want to share a story with you about a rich man for all you people that think material things make you happy. And that's what true riches is in this world, material things. There was a man. He's deceased now. And I'm not as judge either. I'm not judging the man. I'm just using his life story as an example for all of us. His name was Howard Hughes, one of the richest men in the world when he was living on the planet. This man, I didn't even know this. I found out not too long ago, this man died from malnutrition, if I'm saying the word right in this English language. In other words, the man died because he starved himself to death. The man just was so miserable and so unhappy with all that money now. He just wasn't happy. He couldn't understand why I got all of the riches. I've been all over the world. I can do anything I want to do on this earth with this money I got, pretty much. And I'm still not satisfied. What is it? I can just see the man because I'm just like him. I'm a human being. What is it? I got all this money, but I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied. So the man said, I'd rather be dead. You can tell he said it because he did it, than to keep living in hell, in this misery, even with all this money. So he just said, I'm not going to eat. So he stopped eating and he died. Okay? So I want all you people to know that material things and carnal pleasures cannot bring your heart satisfaction, people. It cannot satisfy the human heart. The human heart was made for God, for Allah. And the only way the human heart can be satisfied is through the remembrance of Allah, Almighty God Allah. Allah says in the final revelations in the Holy Quran, hearts do find satisfaction in the remembrance of God. Now think about it, people. Just give it a try. Whatever you're going through in your life at this particular time, just try sincerely to remember God, not as Jesus Christ, not as Muhammad, not as Moses, not as yourself, not as Satan, but try to remember God as a spirit, as a spiritual force and power you cannot see, who's unseen, but the one that's running everything, controlling everything that you see. He's the one controlling it all, sustaining it all. Focus your attention on that one and do it with a pure heart, good intention, and see what happens. Give him a try. Most people are not afraid to give the evil a try. They'll work for the evil quickly. The government give jobs to people and have them working all kinds of evil to destroy masses of people all over the world. Like I said, they have. Call them black ops or whatever they want to call them. Kill us. Kill millions of people. Go take whatever they got. The oil, diamonds, whatever they got. Take it. And, you know, not only the government, but the Satan, he whispers to people as individuals. And just me and somebody were saying, have you looking at somebody and saying, I don't like them. You ain't never seen the person. You don't know nothing about them, but I don't like the way they look. Can you imagine that? I don't like you because of the way you look. That's insanity. I don't like you because of the shoes you got. I don't like you because of where you stay. I don't like you because of the way you talk. I don't like you for any old petty, stupid, ridiculous reason people hating on each other. And this is something that I want to share also in this talk today. I want to say it like the Creator said it in his final revelations, the Holy Quran, Allah. Almighty God, Allah says here, people, in his final revelations, we seek refuge with him before we read his final revelations from the accursed enemy of all mankind, Satan. Almighty God, Allah says, people, he says, remember me. This is Allah speaking. He said, remember me, and I shall remember you. He said, be grateful unto me and deny not me, people. And Allah says, also, people, he says, oh, mankind, behold, I have created you all out of a male and a female, and I have made you into nations and tribes, so that you might come to know one another. Truly the most honorable or noblest of you in my sight is the one that is most deeply conscious of me. But before you go on with that, yeah, that's what he said. Yes, he said he created us that we might get to know each other. So this is my point. We are created different people, different languages, different the way we look physically. But all of this is done so that we might get to know each other. I remember a movie I want to share with you just briefly, and then I'll let someone come on and want to give a comment. They'll ask a question or even dispute with me a little bit. It's okay. We can disagree to agree. I like that. I've been blessed to grow up to learn how to do that now. Praise be to Allah. But anyway, it was The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And, you know, I watched that movie a lot when I was growing up. And, you know, that man had a deformity that made him bent over and made his face crooked and all, and he was all hunched over. And everybody laughed at him when they seen him and said, oh, man, he's so ugly. Good Lord. Oh, man, he's ugly. Man, I can't stand the sight of him. They turned away from the man. And it made the man feel so bad because the man was a good man, had a good heart. He couldn't help the way Almighty God, Allah, was testing him. He couldn't help the affliction that was on him. So, you know, it was this beautiful queen, and nobody ever expected for her to befriend him, ugly as they say he was on the outside. So when this queen seen him, she just stared at him. And apparently people were looking at her like, what's she staring at that ugly thing for? Why won't she turn away? She seen something that they didn't see. She wasn't looking at the man's exterior body. She was looking into the man's soul. She looked at the man and seen how humble the man was, how loving the man was. The man always was trying to help somebody. People just ran away from the man all the time. But the man was always trying to help somebody, even though they was rejecting him. Anything he could do to help somebody in his deformity, he always tried to help. And the queen fell in love with the man. She fell in love with him and befriended him. And I don't know if the story ends this way, but she might have even married him. But I do know this. He became her closest friend and companion. And she, after she turned and fell in love with the man's heart and the goodness of God in him, then all the other people in her kingdom, they start liking the man. Show you how hypocritical people are. They got a heart just like the queen had a heart. If they were looking for the good inside the man, they could have seen the good inside the man too, and they wouldn't have been looking at the outside trying to judge somebody by their outward appearance, rather looking inside at the contents of their heart and their soul. If that's pure and good, then you're good. And I want to say this, and then I'll conclude. For now, Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, said, people, the last prophet for all of you all, everybody on the planet Earth today, he said there's a morsel of flesh in the human being heart. And he said if that morsel of flesh is good, he said all of the human being is good. And he said, on the other hand, if that morsel of flesh is bad, all of the human being is bad. He said, truly, it is the heart. So with that said, we want to give the co-host an opportunity to bring on anybody that have any comments, questions, or even, as I say, if you have any disagreement, let's talk about it. Let's see what we disagree with and see can we come to some agreement. Peace.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Imam Shahid Shabbat, for that teaching. He's teaching today, isn't the audience? I'm telling you, and it is so beautiful and meek and delicate because we have this board so lit up. It's lit up like that beautiful weather is feeling out there. You can tell we have a lot of souls today who want to be nourished with the goodness of Allah, the goodness of their Creator. And we thank you for joining us on our radio broadcast show today. And I want to remind you that you are listening to the radio broadcast show of Imam Shahid Shabazz, The Reality of the Creator. And you tune in every Sunday at this time at 10:30, and you're going to receive some of these good, profound words that Allah has put in him, this message that he has given him to give to you. And we pray that you will not just take it set it aside somewhere, that you will take this message, keep it in your heart and soul, and pass it on to others. And let them know, too. We have so many people that are on the board today. Now, everybody might not want to say anything that shows up on the board. Sometimes they, too, put you on, and you don't want to say anything. So you don't have to say anything when I call your number if you don't want to. But we would love to have you participate. That's what it's all about here. We need the feedback from you and to know what you think about the show. Are you enjoying it? Are you receiving anything from it? And to just join in with us. And let's talk about it. Talk about what's being said. Show that we are aware, that we are concerned, and we know what time it is. All right? I am going to begin here with a caller that's been on this line for quite a while. It's a 202 number. Now, you don't have to get off if I call your number, all right? If you don't want to say anything, just let us know that you prefer rather not say anything or just don't say anything, but stay on the line. For anybody else in the listening audience who wants to speak, dial the number one button on your phone. Dial the number one button now. Your number will show up, and we will call on you. The first number that I'm seeing is 202-770 number. If there's anything you would like to say, a question that you would like to ask, give us your name and tell us where you're calling from. That's one moment, please. I haven't put you on the line here. I have your number showing, but I don't have you on.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, brother Ali Mujahid, the soldier of Allah.
Brother, Shukran for getting the message out there. Yes, I know what mad shit you talk about. We don't look at it as a mad shit. That's a social club, Akeem.
Yes, sir.
It's a social club.
Yes, it is.
And I'm out of D.C. also. And one thing we don't look at, and my name is Mujahid. If y'all listening know who I am, then so be it. One thing you were saying about the inflictions on people, and I agree with, that is a test. It's nothing but a test to see who you're going to run with. Brother, you know where I've been at. And you know who brought me up out of that situation. It was none other but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, sir. Allahu Akbar.
I did two things. I believed in him more, and I believed in myself that I can do it.
Yes,
you
sir.
You believe in him, but if you don't believe in yourself, if you're able to do these things, then it's a waste. And I'm not going to hold you up. I know you got other callers. Alhamdulillah.
And no, your call is fine. Go ahead on, brother. Take your time.
And then, like I said, everything we do is a test. And at the end of the day, we are going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be judged.
Yes, sir.
Yamaka.
With yes, sir.
And then, like I said, you're going to have a big screen TV up there. And
that's
and
right.
Every minute, every second, every minute, every hour. You remember this? You can remember that? We're going to be standing there, yamaka yama, for what? 50,000 years waiting to be judged. 50 or 75,000 years waiting to be judged. There's going to be people begging Allah to just throw me in the hellfire. They're going to be sweating up to the ankle, up to their knees. It's going to be some people up to their mouth, yet not drowned, but they're drowning in their own sweat because they know.
That's correct. That's correct.
When Malaika Mut come for your soul, when you die, you can already know where you're going at because you can already know what you did on this planet.
That's right, brother.
And that's one thing I love about this being. You either do this or you do that. If you do this, you're obedient. If you do this, you're obedient. But if you do that, you're disobedient. And you got a chance of going to Jahannam. This is as simple as that.
As simple as that.
This world is an illusion, Aki.
That's all it is.
It's an illusion.
That's right.
All I'll say to the guy, he give you glam, Shaitan give you the glitter, you know. Yeah, go ahead and do this. Go ahead and do that. It's okay. You can repent tomorrow. Start for life. You don't know if you're going to live tomorrow. There's thousands of people dying in their sleep every night.
That's right.
Don't have a time. You know, only time we have right now is to get it right with Allah. Off of Tawbah.
That's right.
Get it right with Allah right now.
Right and now, this very breath.
And like you were saying about D.C., this place is like a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes, it is.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
The worst I've ever seen.
And they don't even realize.
No, I was just going to say, excuse me for cutting you. They don't realize it because ignorance is bliss. And that simply means when you're in ignorance, ignorance keeps you unaware of the bad that you're doing. Ignorance makes you think your bad is good.
Right. That was Shaitan said.
Ignorance makes you think your bad is good. So that's why I say ignorance is bliss.
It's like Shaitan said, I would make what's good to them seem bad and what's bad to them seem good. And then they pray in the Isa, y'all praying to a Muslim for y'all's soul.
That's right.
All of the prophets and messengers of Alayhi Salaam to all of them were Muslim.
They were.
The angel Jibril came to every last one to tell the people to do three things. Pray to one Ahad. Pray to one Allah.
That's
worship
right.
One Allah, and to submit to do the will of one Allah. It's what they did that made them what they were. It's what
That's
they
right.
do. It's what we do.
And I just want to say,
it's our character, it's our conduct.
That's right. And I just want to say, along with you, my beloved brother, dearly beloved brother, for all the people that don't know what Allah means, it means one God.
Oh, one God.
It means one God. Now, all the prophets and messengers, they taught one God. They taught the worship of one God. They didn't teach the worship of themselves. They didn't teach the worship of creation. They taught the worship of one God, and that God is Allah, the unseen God. They taught the worship of God you cannot see. And the one that really established that was Abu Ibrahim. He's the one that studied creation scientifically and came to a logical conclusion that everything in creation is of a temporal nature, but the Creator's nature is of an eternal or unlimited nature.
Unless.
He's the one that established that for the Christians, Jews, and Muslims, that there can't be but one creator. Because if there were more than one creation, it would be confusing, the creator saying the heavens and earth. But we don't see confusion in the heavens and earth. We see perfect peace and harmony.
And see, and he brings everything into harmony. Everything in nature is Muslim. It's a myth.
Yes, it is.
It does what it's supposed to do.
Yes, it do.
I had to break it down to a guy down here where I'm at down here in Missouri. Had to break it down to him and stuff, you know. And he's my, yeah, we got to go through Isa, ladies and gentlemen. I say, yeah, at that time, sorry, brother, Isa, ladies and gentlemen, didn't come for us. He was told not to go to the, Aki, do you know they don't even know their own book?
No, they don't.
I forgot. That's not their book. Show me in the Bible where he say he came to the Gentiles. It's not in there. And what do the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, where is that in there? Where is that crap at? Oh, and then Isa, ladies, along, come down here as Allah. Stop Allah. So you mean, then he's supposed to be the son of Allah? So you mean to say he fornicated with Mary, man, Allah, who and her? Stop Allah.
No, actually what they're saying is that Mary, fornicated. They're saying, actually, in that stupidity and that ignorance with Almighty God, and they're saying that Jesus, she's the mother of God, because they say Jesus is God. So that irrational teaching is just irrational, and for anybody that uses logic or common sense, that type of teaching don't appeal to them. But we got to cut the show short because we got other guests, but I love having you on. Thank you for calling. I love you. This is one of my closest companions. This is another true soldier of Allah who's not only talking it, but living Islam, and he's willing to kill or die or make any sacrifice to establish Allah's justice on this planet Earth. And I'm with him always, even though we may not physically be together, but we are two generals fighting in the army of Allah, and we're willing to kill or die, just like Satan followers are willing to kill, and they do kill and
die.
To spread evil, we're willing to kill or die to spread the goodness of Allah and to stand up for Allah's justice on this earth. Me and this brother ain't talking. We're living it. And if you don't think we're living it, just try us out.
Just try. Hey, Aki, that's what I'm about to say.
All right. Thank you, brothers. Like you said, we do have other listeners, quite a few today. And I'm praying that everybody will have comments to make. Like, that's beautiful, brother. We thank you so much. Tell them don't go away. Stay on the line and just listen.
All right,
we certainly want to thank you for coming on, brother, and we enjoyed your comments. We do have another person who's been on here for quite a while. I'm going to bring up now. That's 202-423-4028 number. If you have any comments or questions, could you give us your name now and tell us where you're calling from?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam. Can you hear me?
Welcome again to the show, Sister Aisha. We're always glad to have you on.
Can you hear me? Shakura. Yes.
That's right, Sister Shakura.
Yes. I was calling to say that I'm so happy you're still on the radio. You're healing our hearts so very much, talking on general information that we should keep in mind. The heart is the main focus for the matter of our social ills. That if we keep a healthy heart by Quranic reading, we won't have to suffer long-term illnesses and also ill relationships. The heart is so powerful, and thank you all very much. May Allah reward you.
Thank you, Sister Shakura. I appreciate that because, you know, my beloved sister, you know, I appreciate your support every week, every time you come on. It's always inspiration, and I appreciate the great work that you've been doing so many years out there in the community in Washington, D.C., trying to spread, you know, the justice, the goodness, and the righteousness of Almighty God, Allah. You've been doing a wonderful job. As a matter of fact, I commend all of you strong sisters in Washington, D.C., because you are the pillars of Islam in Washington. Y'all are the ones keeping Islam alive in Washington, D.C. It's not the brothers. The brothers are just weak. I don't know what's done happened to them. They done gave in to this society, slave mentality, degrading them. But you sisters, y'all still have kept hope alive for us. And I want to commend all of you beautiful sisters that are standing firm for the faith and that have carried us, not only the faith, but have carried us through slavery, like Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, and many, many more, Mary Cloud Bethune. Many of you great sisters, I honor you sisters. And I just want to say, you're right, the heart is the key to our salvation, because Almighty God, Allah, say when he judged us on the day of Yom Kippur, he said what he's going to judge us by is our heart. He said the only one that's going to enter his heaven is those who bring back to him a pure heart, a pure heart. A pure heart you would think of would be the heart of a baby. Every baby born is born with a pure heart. And Almighty
resources
God, Allah,
is what makes our
heart
support.
We can't come back to him until we get that baby nature back, that baby heart back. And I say to you all that it's so beautiful. Give it a try. Almighty Allah has blessed me almost 40 years now to get my baby heart back. And I tell you, I feel like a baby, and so much so that when I go out now, the only little children are calling me Jesus. They're calling me God. They're asking me, am I God? And they're asking me, where did I come from? And some of them even asked me, did I come from up in heaven? So I know now Allah has blessed me with my baby heart because I have my child's heart back now, innocent. I don't have no desire for any sin at all. I only have a desire for the goodness of Allah in my life and the goodness of Allah, our Creator, in this world. And that's what I live. Every day he give me another day, I live to spread his goodness, his justice, and his righteousness. So the heart is the key to our salvation. People in this world and also in the next life, Allah say he succeeds or she succeeds in this world that purify their heart, and he or she fails like Howard Hughes, who corrupts their heart in materialism and material greed and carnal pleasures. Thank you.
Yes, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Resources to their families every day so that we can help our families abroad, and that we give a receipt to the businessman report on how we benefited from the circulating of the resources for the rest of this year? Do you think we could pray to Allah Dawa to bless us that this year today?
Yes. Yes, we should always pray to Allah because and ask him for anything that we plan in that's good. Allah says man plan. And Allah, the Creator, plan, and Allah said he's the best planner. So before we do anything, we should say Bismillah, Bismillah, Hirrahman Nirrahim.
To the U.S. Treasury, to the United States Treasury, to the United States Treasury, and not just to our hands in prayer.
I'm not saying just to
the U.S. Treasury table.
If you will, give me an opportunity to respond. And please, give me an opportunity. I can't respond if you cut me off.
I'm saying,
sister, give me a chance, please, if you will, to finish. Please. If you want help from anybody, the government ain't no God. The government ain't no God for almost over. I suffered with a disease for almost 20 years, and the government knew I had the disease
They wouldn't give me disability. They waited till I got about 50, and then they figured I would be about dead because of all the hell that they put and all the misery they put in the lives of African-American people, especially the African-American man. They figured I'd be dead by now, so I would only probably get it. If once I got it, I'd probably die right after that with the disease Allah, affliction Allah put on me. But they not Allah. They don't control life and death. Allah blessed me to live to get 50. And not only 50, he's almost blessing me to get 6 in there in just a little while. So what I'm saying to you, Allah controls life and death. Allah controls all affairs. So even if we pray, I ain't talking about just praying for ourselves and each other. We need to pray for the government also. And when we go to deal with the government, President Obama, the Congress, the Senate, I don't care. They're just human beings like we are. Allah got power over them too. They don't have no power to just do what they want to do. We have to understand this. But we got to go with the right attitude. We got to first go trusting in Allah, knowing that Allah is who act by. He have all power. Don't go hoping and praying that these people going to help me. Go knowing that Allah have all power, and Allah say he will aid those who aid his cause. Allah says in the Quran that mu'minun, the believers, not Muslim, they must eventually win through on this earth as in heaven. So that's what I'm saying, if you clearly understand me, but you got to give me an opportunity to answer your question thoroughly. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much, sister. We're going to go on now. We have our caller. This number is 202-674-3189. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from? Well, I think
Walaikum salam.
I believe this is Sister Nafisa.
Yes, alhamdulillah. I wanted to comment on what.
Good to hear your voice, and good
yes,
to know that you're back with us now. You were very sick at one time there, and Allah pulled you through, so that you can be one to bear
yeah,
witness.
I wanted to make the comment about women, how they dress and whatever in D.C., and it is so sad to see that most of them are young teenagers who are out here doing everything. And, because their parents don't teach them anything about what Allah has given to us to give to our children. Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, You're so right.
Yeah,
I think
because,
not only
are the girls doing it, but the young men are doing it too, which is not correct.
That's right.
Yeah, but it's not in just Washington, D.C. It's all over the nation.
It is. You're right. I just use D.C. because it's the capital, but you're right. It's all over the United States. You're right, and it's running rampant. You're right.
Yeah, but, like I said, I try to teach my grandchildren correct things, whether they parents teach them or not. It's my job as a Muslima to teach my family also what is being taught to me.
That's right.
That's right. I was just looking on Facebook last night, and they had one of the Muslim sisters put this little saying up and was talking about the children, that the Muslim family were heard to make sure that their children listen to the television. They put it on for them to listen to. And they were heard to make sure their homework is done. They get on them about that. But they never think about reading the Quran, making sure that they have read the Quran and make their salats. And you're right. The day should begin with our Creator and end with our Creator. And His words, His lessons, His teachings of praise. That's our foundation that helps us to succeed in life. And without that, the children are going to be like the world. So what are you doing? That's what you call being contradictory, being a hypocrite. When you allow your child to go astray, you're going to have to answer for that too. At least know it's in your heart and soul that you did all that you could to teach that child about the Creator, about Allah, and guide it in the right way and the way that he would have it to go.
Yeah.
So that you won't carry that on your shoulders on the day of judgment.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah,
right,
praise to Allah. We're doing well to wake up and see another day to serve humanity.
Alhamdulillah.
I have a question. My question is, the heart of the matter is how many families introduce the heart of the Quran when addressing any social ill, Iqra, and giving the resources that are material from Mother Matter every day so that we can help families global and give a report to where we circulate the monies with receipt for a while to do every day till December. What do you think about that prayer, Dawah?
Sister, any prayer, as I said before, I will repeat myself, any prayers that we make, we should first make feasibility for the pleasure of Allah. We should always want our prayers to be for the fulfillment of Allah's divine will in the Holy Quran on this planet Earth. Any prayers, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're dealing with.
No, I said to circulate it. To circulate the
money. Excuse me?
With the U.S. abundance, the treasury. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'm trying to understand what you, what answer
you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
All right. Inshallah. Mashallah.
Can you hear me? Okay, well, we need to go on to the next call if we have one. If not, I'll continue to go on.
All right, we do have another caller. We have a 202 number again, 202-604-4045.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Hey, how you doing, Uncle? How you doing, Auntie Thaddeus?
I'm doing fine, brother. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you, thank you. I'm well. You know, I woke up this morning giving thanks to Almighty Father Allah for waking me up yet again another day to do it over again. And
yes, sir.
And I just want to comment on the powers that be and how, you know, you said a parody of a little angel and a little devil on your shoulders. I don't know if y'all told y'all, but I'm going to go to the little, somewhere it's an experience, it's a testimony, then I'm going to move on to something else. In 2008, I had a horrible accident when I was stabbed in the heart, and I walked 15 blocks to Howard University. And on that walk, the little angel, one something said, I will say to her, sit down, you're tired. Tie your shoe. Sit down. The other, the spirit that they said, keep walking. When you get to that corner, keep walking, don't stop. And I walked clean across traffic on Florida Avenue. Now the car honked the horn, they all stopped, and I made it to the hospital where I was beginning to pass out. That's the power of God. That wasn't me. That was God that gave me that strength. The next thing, so I just want to say, you know, praise due to Allah. The next thing,
are you still there?
Well, apparently he got cut off. I can't hear myself.
I know. I don't know if he's driving or what, but I don't see him anymore. So evidently, yeah, he did get cut off. All right,
yes,
we have
yes,
919-479-2092.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Go ahead.
As-salamu alaykum, brothers. Imam Shaheed and Sister Aisha, how y'all doing today? It's a great show. You got getting a lot of comments. Brother Shaheed, you said quite a bit today. It's hardly anything to say except for listening. But I would like to add that You know, I mean, when I was coming up, I remember the times when I was coming up and moved to Philly, and between Philly and Baltimore, going to visit those cities like you have often visited up in D.C. and those cities. The one thing I had to, one thing that was told to me by adults and people that lived in the city was that you had to be tough. So, and in being tough, they were saying that you had to, you know, you had to hide your feelings. You had to not have consideration or concern for others. I've heard it quite often. I mean, and it didn't necessarily mean, I don't think, after living there, it didn't necessarily mean that you didn't have to have feelings or concerns or have a sympathy for your immediate family or even some people that you knew there. But in general, overall, in the big cities, you are kind of taught or you are kind of led in practice to not have the consideration for others as you might have would have had in, I would say the South, being that I'm from the South. So I had to kind of adopt that when I was coming up as a kid, you know, even by adults and even by my own peers. And so, you know, unless you protect your heart and unless you believe in Almighty God, Almighty Allah, and live another day, and God would bless you to some of these things that's in your heart, some of these things that you have been accustomed to or been taught, they're not always the right thing to carry on down the road. Abraham, you know, he went against his father's belief. So some things we have to shake off as we go down the road. Some things we have to shed as we go down the road. And some things Allah is so merciful that he allows us or he puts in us not only forgiveness, but forget. I mean, I don't remember what it was like being in the womb of my mother. I mean, the human being don't remember what it's like being in the womb of their parents, their mother. And in this world, in this old world, it's not a womb. So some things in this world, we're just to forget. We're just to not even we will forget, you know. But we have to move on. You know, we have to move on. And inshallah, that we, you know, and then forgetting sometimes, I think, is that with forgetting sometimes comes forgiveness, you know. Yeah. And so I'm not saying forget where we come from as a people, forget our history and stuff like that right there. But surely, and some of those things we should forget, and some of those things, we should have forgiveness, how we was treated, not just by the white man, not just by you know, what we call our peers, but just forget sometimes about some things that happened to us within our own immediate family. I mean, you know, forget it so you can be forgiven, you know. And just move on with life, because if not, then we'll be stuck on this thing and just spinning our wheel, being like the children of Israel, just going around in circles, as the Bible say, for 40 years and just, you know, constantly bring it up. And I know people that still have grudges or still will bring up some things that's done went on 30 years ago, you know, and they just can't seem to get past it. You know, even myself, I'm guilty of it myself. I've been guilty of it, you know, until I had to constantly talk to Almighty God and constantly just and living and being asking for forgiveness, asking to move on from something just so I could do that, you know. I mean, I can't say it was anything real bad, but, I mean, it could be little things. Little things add up to be big things. You get enough little stuff on your wagon, after a while you overload it, you know. You can't, you know, you mad at people because they said this and you ain't speaking to them because they did that. And next thing you know, you really ain't speaking to nobody. You really ain't trying to help nobody. You mad at people in general because now you think everybody is against you. Everybody is BSing you because you ain't forgot the ones that BSed you. You ain't forgot, and so therefore you haven't forgiven the ones that BSed you. And until you do that, then you're gonna be one of those that if you're spreading anything, if you're trying to teach anything, if you're trying to be a leader of someone, you're only going to lead and spread that which is within you. And it could easily be just like I was saying about in the city when I was coming up as younger. These people that told me, these people that was leading me to have no conscience of people, have no sympathy for people because you in the city, these was adult people. These was people that probably had been through that, that had already been BS and taken advantage of and all that kind of stuff. So me being a kid and they telling me that, what am I supposed to do? I thought that I was supposed to just be obedient, follow my adults, listen to my adults, and everything would be okay. But it's not always that way. So a lot of times when you, as you live and you come into reality and consciousness and growth, that you are supposed to do different. As the Quran said, have you not seen what happened to those that came before you? And if you continue to go the route that some went before you, doing the same thing, expecting a different result, that's a sign of insanity. And it's not going to work. It didn't work for them. It ain't going to work for you. And some people, when they get a certain age and they ain't made nothing in their life, they ain't got nowhere in their life because of whatever the reason may be, they get bitter and they just tell you to do the same thing. And I tell people to do the same thing. This is how I did. I have people tell me all the time, well, you know, my parents, they pork all the time. They live to get 70. This kind of stuff. There ain't no age. That's no age. I mean, so until we fix this thing, we're going to continue to be in the same rut. We were put in, what are we in that rut for? We're going to continue to be in that same rut until we do something different, until we do different, until we be guided in a different way. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, alaikum assalam, brother Larry. Beautiful comments. I always enjoy thoroughly, the remarks that Almighty God Allah bless you to share with us all. They are so heartfelt because I've been knowing you almost 40 years, and I know you have a pure heart because I deal with you. I've been dealing with you consistently, and I know that the message that comes from you, it comes from your heart, and it's beautiful. And me and you both are men of the soul. You know, there's a saying that I read it in the Quran not too long ago, that Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, Allah took him for a friend. And then in another section in the Quran, Allah says Prophet David, peace be upon them both, he took him as a friend. So, you know, I just want to say this to what you said, and that is this, is that, first of all, Almighty God Allah say that when he decreed, ordained his creation in the heavens and the earth, that he decreed that his mercy prevail over his wrath. Next, I want to say that he says he or she that sincerely repents of a sin is like he or she that have committed no sin.
Nice.
And also, I want to say this. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, the last prophet of Almighty God, Allah for all mankind, said, the true believer in Allah, Almighty God, is not the one who treats other people good if other people treat them good. But he said the true believer in Almighty God, Allah, is the one that treats other people good even though they don't treat them good. How can two wrongs make a right? How can we straighten out the world's problem if everybody got the attitude, well, if you don't treat me right, I ain't going to treat you right. You
exactly.
Do me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong.
Right.
Two
right.
Wrongs don't make a right. Almighty God Allah said repair evil. That means fight off evil with what is better. And you know two evils ain't going to produce good.
two evils going to produce more evil. So you are absolutely right, and I thank you for reminding me also this morning of that beautiful message, because when you go and forgive a person, you're supposed to forget about it, because if you ain't forgot it, you ain't forgave them.
That's right, right.
I don't care what you say. I mean, I'm starting with myself on that, and it took me years to grow, be blessed to grow to that point myself too. But
yeah.
I can say at this time that whatever that thought try to come to me to remember something somebody done did to me or whatever, God Almighty Allah done blessed me to immediately check myself and say, let that go. I forgive you. Look at all what you done and I done forgive you for. Now, if you want to hold that against them, I'm going to hold all that stuff you done against you.
That's right. That's right. As well as we have to practice, as well as we practice remembrance, and I know myself, I have to practice remembrance. I have to practice to remember a name. I have to practice to remember some things that I need to do, or some things that I am working on. You know, I have to practice remembrance. And so as well as I have to practice remembrance, I have to also practice forgiveness or forgiveness. You know what I'm saying? So something I
yes.
practice, you know, just, man, forget that. Forget that. You know, because if Satan get in my, like as the brother was saying earlier about Satan being on the left shoulder and the angel being on the right shoulder, whichever one, then sometimes I have to do the same thing. I have to practice that which, forget that which is bad. I have to practice that sometime. You know, practice not to, sin. Practice not to speak ill will. You know, I have to practice
right.
that sometime. And inshallah, I will be forgiven. And if I practice to forget it, I'll be forgiven for that. You know,
you
and
will.
I don't have to walk around with that on my shoulder that, you know, remembering some things that, why do you remember and why do you keep bringing up old stuff? Because you haven't practiced to forget it yet. You still got it in
That's
your
right.
center. Sometimes you have to throw out the old. Forget about it. Throw it away. So you can move on.
That's right. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, so I just wanted to say, if I can, at this time, Brother Larry, you mentioned something about, you know, even our history as an African-American people. And today, you will hear a lot of African-American people talking about what the white man did to us. You hear that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But this is something you don't hear most African-Americans saying. Okay, the white people did do that, but we have to understand everything that Almighty God allowed to happen is for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So he don't want us to hold on to the thought of what the white man did to us. He done blessed us to come past that. So what we got to look at, what can we do today to help change the situation rather than just looking at the bad in the past? What can we do good today to change the situation?
That's right. That's right.
How can we better our conduct today to change what happened to us in the past? Not only with what the white man done to you, but like you say, every day you need to examine yourself, do examination and check. Check
That's
yourself
right.
every day and ask yourself, what can I do to be better than I was yesterday?
Exactly.
And you do have to practice everything. You have to practice forgiveness. You do. You have to practice asking forgiveness. It's everything in life is a practice, because we make choices, and based on your choice, you will carry out whatever you choose. So if you choose good, you're going to practice doing good. If you choose bad, you're going to practice doing bad.
That's right.
So everything is a choice, and it is a practice. So Allah says, even in the Holy Quran, that we should be in a race asking for forgiveness. So he said we should be in a race towards all that's good. Strive as though we're in a race towards all that's good. And he said we should strive in a race in forgiveness and asking his forgiveness. Because one sister said to me, and she was right. She said every time we say Alhamdulillah, all praises due to Allah, we should say Astaghfirullah at the same time. And Astaghfirullah means Allah forgive me of my sins and my faults. So we should at the same time praising God, Allah, ask him to forgive us at the same time, because being human, we commit sins that we're not even conscious of all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we need his mercy and forgiveness in order to be saved. It's not just going to be our deeds that's going to save us if we're going to be saved on the day of judgment. It's going to be the grace and the mercy of Almighty God,
mm-hmm.
Allah. And if, and he's going to have mercy, that special grace on you, if, in fact, you were the person that forgave people and didn't hold things against people and you treated people good in spite of them not treating you good.
Yes, yes.
Because that's what he do. He treats us good in spite of us treating ourselves good.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yes, sister.
I'm through. I just want to give anybody else enough to.
I didn't want to interrupt you. I do see it seems like, I believe it's the Thaddeus number, that it's come back up again. So we're going to see if this is him and let him continue.
Hello.
All right. Number 202-604-4045.
Yes. How you doing? I can hear you.
How are you, Thaddeus?
Yeah. I don't know why the phone just dropped like that. Sometimes, you know, weird stuff happens when you're trying to talk positive. Oh, so let's finish my thought pattern here. I'm going to go way back, and I'm going to come forward to the comment just now. One thing you were saying how the Notre Dame, how it was ugly, but inside it was beautiful. So the analogy is just like this. I notice a lot of young kids today, especially little girls and little dudes, little girls exposing themselves. And then when you open that book, there's no content. There's nothing there. Same thing with the guys. They think, okay, the little girls go after the guys with the most jewels, the bling on the car, but there's nothing there. The type of books that I like and the type of women that I've grown to love is you get a plain book, and sometimes they're small. And the plain cover, when you open it up, the book will blow your mind. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's, you know, a lot of things. It's the media and stuff like that. The little young people and even people my age are following what is the trend, the fad. That's how life is. It's supposed to be. You're supposed to go after this. You're supposed to go after the riches. And all the while, you're being dumb, deaf, and blind, and you're being misled. And then the other thing I wanted to say was as far as what the brother was just saying, too. Kind of lost the train of thought. But I just want to say this too. When I was growing up, in Aunt Issa's household as a young man, and we were running rampant. And what she instilled in me is finally hitting home today, because she was a hardworking single. She was by herself, and it was me, Tahita, Jahad, and Elron, all running around. But she kept us straight the best way she could. And so even to this day, those qualities are starting to come back to me. And now I realize what she was trying to do. And I'd like to thank you, Aunt Isla, right now for that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You turned out to be such a good person because it was in your heart. That's why
right.
Your soul can be good anyway. But
right.
You were a child born up in this world with curiosity of the world at the time.
Right.
But Allah kept bless you to keep those teachings of righteousness in your heart. And when you became
right.
A man as you are now, you turn back towards the right way, towards him. And that's what
right.
The lesson is. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Right. I just want to say this, too. It came back to me. Now, I have a friend. You know, we're not friends right now. And she said, I forgive you, but then she throws the old stuff, because I know words cut deep. She throws it back in my face. I'm like, well, you just said you forgive me, but you're throwing the words back at me that I said. So you're remembering it. And I will say, you know, my little slick self, well, there you go, you're like an elephant. You don't want to forget nothing. So I don't understand that. If you say you forgive me, then forget about it. That's the way it's supposed to be. Am I correct?
You're correct. Yes, sir, you're correct.
So why do you
you're
say
absolutely
that
correct.
Doesn't Why do you figure that person does not want to forget about it?
The person does not want to forget about it because they haven't forgiven you. They haven't forgiven you. They go together, forgiveness and forget. Because why? Because you know, you want to remember Allah. I'm going to give you an example. We are taught in Al-Islam that if you don't have anything good to say about anybody, keep silent.
Right.
Keep silent. That will protect you. We're also taught to refrain. That is to stay away from seeing, speaking, and watching the actions of other people that's bad that we know is in ourselves. Because any time we look for the negative in others, we also bringing it out ourselves because we are the same human being. So if you look for the good, you can find the good. If you look for the bad, you'll find the bad. So this is how we are taught. And I want to say this just briefly for the sisters that came on earlier about the children, because the children are of the utmost importance to me. Now, to save our children, this is what we got to do. We got to teach our children good morality. We got to teach our children what we was taught when we was growing up, what your Aunt Isla taught you, my wife taught you. We got to teach our children that you have a creator, and your creator is not a white man, he's not a black man, he's not a pink man, he's not a blue man, he's not any man. That your creator is a spirit, and you cannot see him. But though you can't see him, he's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He sees you at every time and every place, everywhere. And then my time of growing up in the 50s, even if my mother, we went out somewhere and done something wrong, the neighborhood was so together, man, so God-conscious, that everybody's eyes was on you. It was like God, Allah's eyes was on you through the people, because before you got back home, the news was already there what you had done wrong.
Right.
In other words, it came out of Africa when we were brought over here, because we had a saying in Africa before we were brought over here and made slaves that it takes a village to raise a child. One
right.
child. And that's still true.
As-salamu alaykum.
That's still true.
Right.
As-salamu alaykum.
Did you want to say? Huh?
As-salamu alaykum. This is Brother Larry.
Okay, go ahead on, Brother Larry.
I had to step away from the phone for a minute. But I heard the brother say, about the brother that wouldn't forgive him because he kept bringing it up, I wouldn't forget it. What happens, a lot of times what happens is when somebody won't forget something, not saying that you should remember as much as you possibly can, but you should always protect your heart. And we are, as Brother Shai said, we are taught to, if some things that we shouldn't say, some things that we should say. Sometimes we speak when we shouldn't. Sometimes we are quiet when we should speak. And the thing about a person that's bringing up old times, and they may make a joke out of it, they may laugh about it, or they may whatever they may do, but they may say they forgave you for it, but they may bring it up. But when somebody brings up things that they've already said they've forgiven you for, and it won't come up no more, or it shouldn't come up anymore. It's a sign. It's a sign of slavery. Slavery covers a lot of ground, and sometimes when people bring up things that you would hope that they have forgotten, or you would hope or think that they have forgiven you about, and they bring it back up to you. And sometimes it's the old Satan trick, and it's a thing that they want to let you know that they still know that something that you did to them. But it's a form of slavery. As long as they can keep you remembering and keep you and let you know that they know that you done this, or they still remember this and they haven't forgot it, they always know that you are under they, you know, you some form of nature, some form of fashion, that you are always under there. They have some certain amount of control over you, especially if it's something wrong that you've done to them. So they always have some kind of control over you. Now, it may not be that they really got a bad heart, but it's just a diabolical mind, which is a slave mentality. And that's what happens. And a lot of times we do things and we think it's funny. We think it's a joke. But the effect of it is deeply rooted and can go anywhere that you may not want it to go. You know, so that's my opinion on that.
Well, Brother Larry, that was absolutely wonderful and very clear. And I love the way you broaden the range of slave mentality, because slavery takes all types of insidious or deceitful forms. And that is a form of slavery when somebody is holding something on you,
yeah,
and they won't let it go, and they keep reminding you of it. That's trying to keep a certain amount of control over your life. And Almighty God, Allah said he created everything he created for freedom, justice, and equality. Now, Almighty God, Allah said that the remedy to that, what you just said, Allah says that when you connect with him, the creator, he said he will raise you up to a point where you are not affected by what people say, because
right,
you're no longer of this world, you're of his world. Though you're in this world physically, you are no longer, excuse me, of this world mentally and spiritually. So the things that people say and do does not affect you.
Right.
That's the point that we want to reach in life. I'm striving every day to reach that point. I believe I'm very close,
wow,
but I ain't got there completely yet. But the Creator give me a few more days, inshallah, be the will of Allah, I'm gonna get there. I'm going to get there with his help. I'm going to get there. But, you know, we ain't supposed to allow. We supposed to be only a slave to the Creator, Allah.
Am I still on?
Yes.
Ma'am? Sir?
Am I still on? I'm still on, huh?
Yeah, you're still on.
Okay. I just want to say this, too. I understand what you're saying exactly. And it seems like Satan is so widespread that he has everyone involved in this slavery mentality. It's just like a radio, you know. You know, a radio station. Go there right now. And you're like, oh, you know, walk past somewhere. Hey, the radio just said it. Go there subconsciously. You go and you want to buy a sandwich. You're not even hungry. And then God whispers to you. It's like, sometimes I'm out late at night. Some says, go that way. And then I hear this whisper, don't go that way, go this way. And when I listen to that whisper, something bad just happened, a calamity just happened down that block. And all day, that evilness is always throwing stuff at you. Go do this, do that, do that, do that, you know. And I've noticed God always whispers. And it's the whisper that just takes control. You know what I'm saying? It's like this, it brings light out of darkness. That's how powerful he is. A lot of people listen to that yelling, and, you know, it's always that yelling. It's so much frequency noises out there, and everyone following what Satan wants. And you
well,
see it every day. Like you said, it's Sodom and Gomorrah out here, and it's a battle. It's
yeah, you're right.
Battle.
That's right. It is. It's a spiritual warfare. And, you know, in the Holy Quran, Almighty God, Allah, the Most High says, he says, something to this effect. He says, when we call on him, he says, us as human beings, he says, when we call on him, and this is good and bad people, he said, when we call on him, he listened to us, and he do. When good and bad people call on Allah, he's so merciful, he answers the prayers of good and bad people, because he loves his people. He didn't create us for punishment. He created us for good. He wants good people. He wants bad people to become good. So he blessed them too. So when we call on him, he say, he listened to us. He says, so now when he called on us to come back to the living the right way that he created us, why won't we with a will? Listen at this, with a will, listen to his call and answer his call. See, that's the key right there. You got to have a will to do right. We have what's called will. And that's the key right there. You got to have a will to do right. When I was out there in the streets, stealing, robbing, or whatever I did, that was wrong, and I've done a lot of wrong things. But the only way that I changed, and all the so-called friends or associates I had around me, they was enjoying doing them things, you know. And I was doing them with them, but I felt so bad. I felt out of place. And I just used to go away by myself and get away from them and talk to the voice of Allah inside of me. And I used to say, Allah, I don't really want to do this. I said, I don't like it. My mother and them didn't raise me up doing this. I don't want them to find out about me doing these things because it would hurt them. And I don't want to put that pressure on my family that I'm doing these old terrible things. So I began to say, Allah, give me the strength to change. I'm weak, but I want to change. See,
right.
I want to change meant that I had a will to change. So Allah say, if you bring your will to him to change, he will change your conditions. And he say he
right.
never changed the condition of any people, the outer condition, if it's bad, until they first change the condition of their heart. That is, turn your heart back over to his goodness. And then if you give your heart completely over to his goodness inside of you, then he will begin the process of healing your condition, whether you got a physical sickness or whatever your terrible condition is on the outside. The healing starts in the heart. As the
right.
sister said earlier, you got to get the heart right in order for Almighty God, Allah, to get the rest of your life right. And
right.
The heart is all good. So like Brother Larry said, you can't be harboring bad thoughts or negative thoughts in the heart, because that's negative. Even what the white man, so-called white man, has done us, you got to forgive them for that and let it go.
Right, right.
You got to forgive them and let it go, because they're not in control. Allah didn't want them to do that. If he didn't want them to do it, they couldn't have done it. He allowed them to do it for a reason. We have to find out the reason and understand what the reason was and benefit from the reason. That's a good reason he allowed that to happen. It's a good
right.
reason for everything you allow to happen. It's a good reason for God, Allah, allowing evil to exist in the world.
That's right.
Right. Right.
If
right.
it wasn't no evil, we wouldn't have no desire to want to do good.
Allahu Akbar.
Right.
Hey.
Right.
You know, evil and good creates a balance.
And you know, I've noticed something, too, that, and it's a true statement, and I always say this statement, there's nothing easy or free in life.
Yeah.
Nothing.
That's right.
Nothing.
That's
nothing.
Right.
And the thing that I noticed is that when I know those people who are doing bad, they're trying to get that fast money, and they think they're doing good. Oh, man, I'm living on top of the world. And then the whole world comes crashing down. They have nothing. They're sitting in prison or in the pine box. You know what I'm saying? But I it seems like it's a test. You're going to have to struggle a little bit. And you will struggle. I'm not going to say a little bit. You're going to struggle some.
That's
and
right. You're going to struggle a whole lot.
Yeah, and out that struggle, it's another saying I say, there's gold at the end of the road. You're going to get riches. You're going to get riches beyond measure. Not saying in a physical sense, but your spiritual
that's right.
balance. Your spiritual balance
that's
is
right.
going to be so there. You know what I'm saying? I'm a loner now. I'm always rolling by myself nowadays because, you know, the devil comes in so many forms and it's trickery all around. But then, once I started rolling by myself, and when I was running the streets and I started rolling by myself, man, I could pull a crime by myself because ain't nobody going to tell me but me, and I will get away with it. But then later on down the road, bam, I get smacked. I get hit hard. So I said, you know
yeah.
what, this is not working for me either. So let
That's
me just
right.
go ahead and go with this little struggle, this here struggle for a second, and then, boom. I'm getting blessed beyond measure. Now, at times, you
That's
know,
right.
the devil say time plays tricks with my mind and has me depressed sometimes. I get a little depressed, I get a little down, and then I might turn to a bottle, get me a little drink. And then that's not even the way, because the next day I feel the same way. So he put that illusion, oh, go ahead, get a drink, it'll make you feel better. Now I'm not feeling better. That's a lie. So now...
That's a lie.
So now what I'm trying to do is I have writer friends, doctor friends, and they're all trying to pull me up. So I'm standing around positive people as much as I can, talk to them as much as I can. Got this one brother, man, he just went to Washington State, take his daughter to college at Washington State. That's my homie, you know. If I need something, I don't ever have to steal no more. I used to steal when I was a kid. I don't steal. Hey, man, look, I need this. Okay, brother, here you go. Boom, I got it. You know what I'm saying? It ain't for free. It definitely ain't for free. So, okay, you want to take it to profit? I got you. I got to work it. I got to work for it. So it ain't nothing easy or nothing for free. Every time I said something was easy, I'm working on the car. Oh, that's easy. Next thing you know, the car is beating me up. I'm getting cut up. And the bolt won't come off because I opened my big mouth and I said it was easy. And that's a lie.
Well, you know, I like what you're saying. Not cut you. We don't have a lot of time, but I do want to say this to what you're saying, and it's beautiful. And I really thank you for coming on. I really enjoy you telling your experiences of life. It don't only help me, but it helped many other people listening, our brother Thaddeus. And
yeah.
I just want to say that The Creator, Allah, says he created us as human beings into toil and struggle. And he says it's after difficulty that comes ease. And Brother Larry from Durham, North Carolina, one of my most beloved friends, my best friends in the world, he also said, too, we can't even remember the pain in our mother's womb when the Creator, Allah, was creating us. And it is said scientifically and medically that if we could remember the pain that Almighty God was forging us into this creation called a body in our mother's womb, that pain would kill us instantly.
Mm.
So that what is that saying? That's saying we can endure more than what we think we can endure.
Right.
In terms of struggle. I see people every day struggling in the wrong. I see people selling more dope, making more billions and trillions of dollars, shipping more dope from Mexico, from Brazil, and others. And on these movies on TV, we see them, they got getting all this money and all this draw. And listen at it. It looks like it's easy money, but look at all the destruction they're doing. Look at all the millions and billions of people they're killing. So, you know, I said earlier, the Creator said that success in this world for us as human beings is not based on, you know, ease and play and sport and play. It's based on the difficulties. Almighty God Allah said he created us in toil, and for toil and struggle, after difficult comes ease. He also says that he created us as human beings, and he put a great burden on us to bear the trials and tribulations of this world, that the temptations of this world. He said, but he didn't put a burden on any of us greater than we can bear. He said, we call on him sincerely for help. He will help us to bear all our burdens of life and make our burdens easy for us. But you got to have faith, you got to have obedience, and you got to be sincere and true to your Creator, not in Islam, not in Judaism, not in Christianity, but in your own heart and soul.
Mm-hmm.
In your own heart and soul, that's where Allah is. That's where your Creator is. He's been there all the time, waiting on you to stop looking on the outside and start looking on the inside. The kingdom of Allah, the Creator, is inside of us. It ain't outside. And I want to share this with the people before we conclude. You know, Prophet Moses, a lot of you all probably know about Prophet Moses, yes?
That's right. Okay.
Okay, you know about Prophet Moses, right?
A little something.
Okay, well, I just mean know of his name. I just want to share something with you all, a story of the Prophet Moses. Okay, let me go ahead on before the time expires.
Okay.
Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, he asked Allah to show himself to him on Mount Sinai. He asked Allah, he said, show thyself to me, Lord. He wanted to see Allah. And the man, he was a beautiful man. I mean, Allah is so beautiful in the way that you see him. It makes you want to see him. He's so beautiful and all this beautiful work he done. Who wouldn't want to see such a beautiful Creator? So he wanted to see him, Allah. So he asked Allah to show himself to him. So Allah said to him, knowing how we are ignorant creatures and some things we ask, he know that it don't make sense, but he didn't make us perfect. So he accepted that. He forbear and bear with us. So he said to Moses, listen, you can't see me the way you want to see me. He said, but listen, if you look at this mountain up here, I'm going to manifest some of my glory on this mountain. And he said, if this mountain stands in this place, this huge mountain, he said, then you will be able to see me. So when Allah manifested some of his glory on that mountain, the mountain crumbled to dust, And Moses fell out. His senses, bodily senses, couldn't take that. He fell out. And while he was out of his consciousness, out of his bodily consciousness, he cheated Allah. And then when Allah brought him back to his bodily consciousness, he said these words. He said, Allah, I'm the first to believe in you of my followers. Why? Because he had seen Allah. The only way that we can see Allah. How did he see Allah? He seen Allah in Allah's spiritual world, which is inside of us, in our soul. So, you know, I'm saying that to say we got to teach our children too be in this world with these other people doing wrong, but don't be of this world. You don't have to do wrong because other people do wrong. You got your own choice. Be a leader. Lead yourself. But in order to lead yourself, you got to teach our children, know your God. Know that God, Allah, is always with you. Know that Allah is with you, and know that as long as you are doing right, trying to do right, Allah says he will protect you and help you. And Allah says in the Holy Quran, he got a surah, a chapter dedicated to all true believers in the world. He said the true believers, the true mu'minun, the true believers must eventually win through. Now, what is he talking about? He's saying that every trial, all the trials and tribulations we go through in this world, if we sincerely believe in him and trust in him and show that belief and trust by obeying his will in the Quran, not just talking it, quoting it, but obey his will in the Quran, he's saying that every trial and every situation he puts you in, he's going to bless it to come out towards for you, for your comfort and your ease. And he cannot lie and he cannot fail. So it's just whether you trust Allah or you don't trust Allah. That right. will determine your success. Whatever you're going through, trust Allah. And believe you me, I've been through some hellish situations in my almost 60 years, and I've trusted Allah. I done had guns drawn to my head. I done had people shoot at me, close proximity, saying they're going to kill me, that MF, and I won't even bother them. I was just trying to do right. I done had crowds to surround me in different cities. I was out trying to do the work of God, especially African-American people. They tried to kill me more than Caucasians. So Allah, I'm still here, though. Allah still got me here because I'm doing good, okay? So I'm a testimony in and of myself. So I just wanted to say that, so I'm not going to conclude the show. I want somebody else to talk. So at this time, Brother Larry or Daddy, or so we have somebody new going to come on. I'm going to give away.
As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Larry.
We do have another caller that's been on here for quite a while, and I would like to see if they have anything to say. Brother Larry, then we'll get back to you if you don't mind.
Okay. Okay.
All right. The number that I'm looking at is 202-674-3189. I believe they might have come on earlier, but they're back on. If there is anything that you would like to say, a question you would like to ask or comment, could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from? 202-674-3189.
Hello?
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum. I was just wanted to say that I appreciated the show, and I enjoyed everything about what everyone was saying. And may Allah continue to bless everyone, and hopefully we'll all see each other once we get to heaven. Alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar. Thank you, sister. Thank you, sister. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you so much for coming.
Bless you.
This sister has been very sick. This sister has been very sick. Allah has brought her through her illness. She's been in the hospital about 2 months. And she's doing much better now. And she enjoyed our show today. She wanted to be on the show. And we really thank you. We pray Allah for your continuous healing. Until you're completely recovered, your complete recovery, sister. You're a beautiful sister, a strong sister, and we love you, and we're praying for you, and thank you for coming on, and welcome to come again next time at the same time.
Yes, we do, sister. We pray greatly for you, our sister, and our prayers is a source of security for us. Allah save our prayers. He will answer our prayers of the righteous. So you're going to be fine, sister. You're already fine. You're just being purified, just like myself. I have an affliction, but it's not an affliction, just an affliction. Allah says he afflicts us to purify us, to free us of the sins of this world. So when we leave, we can come back to him free of sin, and we won't have to worry about coming into his heaven. He'll say, well done, my faithful servant. Enter down my heaven. We have done. So that's what we want. That's what we want. Allahu Akbar. Brother Larry, you can go ahead on with the final comments.
Well, yeah, I wanted to say, for the brothers and sisters, the listeners, and that you were speaking earlier, Brother Shahid, about our young folk, we have to remember that you know, Allah says, Allah reigns on the just and the unjust. He says, reigns to the just and the unjust, to the good and the bad. If I had a garden out there and it rained on my garden, it's gonna, my weeds are gonna grow up. So I have to take in and my responsibility, as God has put us in and given us responsibility and choices. I have to go out and pull the weeds out of the garden, because now the weeds are gonna grow just like my fruit or my vegetables may grow. So He's gonna send rain on the just and the unjust. We can't get in a state of mind that we got to go around trying to duck Satan, trying to duck evil, because evil thoughts are going to come in our mind, whether we want it to or not. We're going to see evil things outside through our vision and our eyes from other people. We are even sometimes going to feel some things that's not right. So it's not so much as ducking things, not even so much as trying to run away from these things. We have to put on an armor of protection. We have to protect our heart. We have to put on an armor of protection so that when these things come before us, that we can shield it, or we can not let it affect us. Now, the Bible says something about the word, we was in paradise or in Eden, and then we ate the forbidden fruit. So how do we get this stuff in? We got it in us because we ate it, because it came in us that way. Now, if the evilness comes upon us, and I always, one of my philosophies with young people or even adults, sisters or brothers that tend to listen a lot, one thing I share with them is this here. Throughout life, and what I've learned throughout life is that I take life like as if I'm eating fish. I eat the fish, I don't eat the bone. So when there's a bone in my mouth, I spit it out. So if there's something that's evil that's out there in my day-to-day life, even if it's something that somebody's talking to me about, and I like to listen, and I don't show.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, I agree. We were interrupted for a minute there. It's just about time. We have about 3 minutes left on the show.
Okay.
I think Imam Shaheed and I were both disconnected. But we're back on the air. Now, Imam Shaheed, I see you are on the air again, right?
Yes.
Okay, we have about 3 minutes left. If you want to say the final few words, brother. You may do so at this time.
I would like to say a prayer for the final few words for the show for today. I would like to say a prayer. I would like to say, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Oh, Allah, we pray and ask you to bless everybody listening at this show today with some understanding that will help remind them of you and remind them that life is not just created for sport and play, but that you have a serious purpose for life, that you created life to test our faith to see which of us would be best in conduct, because you say you will judge us on the day of judgment, resurrection and judgment, based on our conduct in this world, not words. So you say faith, it's not a matter of talking words, but faith is a matter of accepting your divine will in the Quran, your revelation, and striving in your cause, which is the cause of truth, justice, freedom, justice, and equality, soul, and righteousness. So people, I pray that you remember the judgment day all the time. Remember that nothing you do, you're going to get away with it. You got to ultimately return to your Creator after you die. You're going to be resurrected, and you got to answer to him. And based upon your judgment, it will determine whether you're going to spend eternity in hell or heaven. Please don't wait to get there to try to believe, because if you don't believe now and prepare for it, it's going to be too late when that time comes, when that day comes, You won't be able to change your position. So now every day we should live like it's our last day to get right with our Creator. So those are the final words in prayer that I want to say today. Is remember the judgment is every day. You're being judged for what you do every day, people. So try to make your judgment good by thinking good, doing good, and always looking for the good in others. Even if you see something negative, put the best construction on it. Look for the good. Overlook the negative and look for the good, and Almighty God will bless you to see the good because He created this whole creation good when He created it. So it is good there, even where we sometimes see bad, even in ourselves. Peace be unto you all. Thank you for your time. Thank you for participating every Sunday, and we appreciate you greatly. May God continue to bless us all with His knowledge, wisdom, and understanding so we can help make this world a better place for all of us to live as human beings. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Assalamualaikum, and thank you, our listening audience, for joining us this Sunday. We ask you to join us again next Sunday. Until then, may you have a blessing and peace with you, and may you have a prosperous week. And we, inshallah, God willing, pray that you will join us next weekend at the same time. Have a blessed day. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa
alaykum as-salam.
One who would forbid the wrong, one who would enjoin the right. And from the day you were born, that promise was kept true. There was so much work to do, but something special about you, and that something told us the time had come, and you would be the one who fulfills all the hopes, all the dreams and prayers, and gets the job done. There were many roads and obstacles and pain along the way, but you never went astray. You only grew brighter every day. You're humble and patient, strong and kind. When looking your eyes in one can see a message of love and harmony, respect from the world community. So many leaders hold you high, denouncing all hate and bigotry. Example of what a good man should be. No vanity, cheating, tricks or lies. Yes, you are the star that lights the sky. So many been touched and blessed by you along the way. And we only hope and pray that you, yes, you get brighter every day.
Stronger, stronger, stronger every day. And that you Lord.